Good morning and welcome to this most beautiful of days. I think fall has arrived. What do we think? Fall is among us. Can't wait for the leaves to change even more and bring brilliancy and color. We are glad you're here this morning. We want to welcome you and thank you for attending Little Swatara this morning. We do want to highlight just a few things in the bulletin. One of just magnificent proportions is the Kobe's Bike and Hike event. You guys raised over $7,700. And of course, we did that in memory of Carl Myers this year. But congratulations, that is awesome. Way to use your heart to reach others. And so thank you on behalf of Kobe's for raising such significant funds to help a wonderful cause. We want to highlight it's a senior adult fall fellowship. This is going to be back in the Narthex area to sign up for. We would encourage you to do so by October 8th. It's broasted chicken or ham loaves, which sounds like wonderful things to eat. And it's just a fall fellowship event for seniors. We'd love to have some participants sign up. And that'll be back on the Narthex table for you to do so. And encourage you to be a part of that. We also just want to highlight tonight is Triple J. It begins at 6 p.m. And it's just a very open format this year. We'd encourage you if you play any musical instruments to just bring them to the cafe. We're going to just have a jam session, talk a bit about Jesus, and of course there's going to be Java. Who doesn't love Java? Did anyone enjoy Java this morning already? Of course we enjoyed Java. This is a Java church. We could call it Little Swatara Java Church. That would make so appropriate. Or not. Very good. Other events on the calendar to be mindful of. If you're a member of a ministry team, make sure your minutes are turned in by the 22nd. We would greatly appreciate that. And then after this service, stick around. We're having a soup and sandwich youth fundraiser. They're all down there right now, actively getting things together. And it's going to be a very delicious meal. And it's donation basis. So come on down and enjoy a soup and sandwich benefit fundraiser for the youth. And those help raise funds for future events. Looking forward to NYC in a few years. And that all helps our youth to be able to do those things. So also, as you look through the bulletin, you'll notice the Little White Church. That's in Mount Etna. I'll be giving a message today at 2:30, and it looks like there'll be some fellowship and refreshments following the service. So if you want to hear me speak twice, you could come out at 2:30 and support the Little White Church as they celebrate another year of that location. Are there other announcements you'd like to highlight this morning? We do want to make mention of the disaster relief auction coming up very quickly. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. They're desperately in need of volunteers for food preparation, food handout, food cleanup. You name it, there's a role that you could play. So what a great way to be able to use your gifts of helps and just bring some relief to the disaster relief auction. So that is being held on the 26th, and we'd love for you to sign up to volunteer at such a worthy cause as well. If there are no further announcements, we enjoy the choir as they open our time of worship this morning. But before we get to that, we would encourage you just to stand and greet one another and welcome them to the fellowship this morning.
to worship this morning, this choir selection couldn't be more true. The presence of the Lord is in this place. We are guaranteed that. We are promised that. So as we worship this morning, may we be mindful of His presence and worship as He deserves this morning. Would you please rise and join us in our opening hymn, Worship the King, number 66. That is how we worship the Lord this morning. Wonderful singing. Thank you so much for honoring the Lord in such a wonderful, wonderful way. We come to that time of the service this morning where we invite you to share your joys and concerns with us. And there's a request for John Kelly. We want to continue to pray for healing of injuries he received 2 weeks ago from a motorcycle accident. So remember John in your prayers this week as he continues to recover. And others that are dealing with losses of family members, you may know the annual conference secretary, Jim Beckwith. His mother passed away, and Amelia Detweiler, one of our own members here, lost her father a few days ago. So continue to lift up the family of Carl and Verna as well. Are there other prayer concerns this morning that you'd like to share with us? A microphone will be passed around, or any joys that you would like to share as well.
I would like prayer for the Schwenk family. It would be my daughter-in-law's family. They lost their mother this morning. And prayer for Jim. He's doing better, but I'm doing pretty good right now, but pray for him.
My dad, Tom Yingling, had his ear surgery this week on Wednesday. I talked with my mom yesterday, and it sounds like things went pretty well. His ear canal is packed, and they'll go back to Pittsburgh on Thursday for a follow-up, and they'll unpack his ear. But he scratched his head, and he was able to kind of hear it. There's a chance that after the surgery, he may not need a hearing aid in his right ear, or he should be able to hear better with a hearing aid in his right ear.
Praise God, praise God.
I just want to say thank you to everyone for the cards, the prayers. Pete and I appreciate it. We had a long summer, and maybe the change of weather, the seasons will change, make a change in our home too. But he's much better, and hopefully it'll stay that way. And again, I thank you, everybody, for everything.
Thank you. So good to see you two here.
A gentleman that I work with at work, his wife has neck issues, and she's probably this week she's going to go in for operation on it. Her name is Ellen Carter, so I'd like some prayers for her.
Prayers for Mark. He cut his leg with a chainsaw yesterday.
Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we turn to you this morning. Our hearts are heavy, and we're dealing with some very deep issues in our lives. And Lord, we know that you are the master physician. We know that you have control over every single component that goes on. And we're just turning to you this morning. We're just asking if it would be your will that you would place your healing touch upon those that are struggling with various diseases. Father, you know the very health concerns that we have within this congregation. And we're just praying, Father, your will to be done. And Father, as we journey through these health concerns, we know a recovery process takes place. We know that healing takes place as doctors administer medication, as doctors do what they can to guide us through this process. But Lord, we're turning to your strength, and we're asking for you to just allow your perfect healing touch to be upon many, many individuals in our midst. We're praying, Lord, for those that went through surgery, and it seemingly appears things are going to be okay, that things went well. And we're praying that that would be so, and that Sarah's dad would be able to hear with the aid of hearing aids, and how thankful we are for that potential. We thank you for Pete and Carol, and we pray, Lord, that you would just allow continued health to be in their household as these fall months and winter months unfold. And we think of Allison Carter, Lord, the health concerns she has, and we place her into your loving arms, and to others this morning that have health concerns, we're just placing them into your arms, asking you to care for them as deeply as we know that you do. And Father, we just lift up a special prayer this morning for Jim and pray your healing hand upon him. We thank you for the good feeling that he's having right now, and we pray that it would continue. And Father, we just thank you that you just speak into our lives. You give us strength when we're feeling the weakest. You give us encouragement when we're feeling the most despair. And we think of those families that have lost loved ones, and we pray for each of them, and the Schwenk family this morning, and the Carl Myers family, the Verna Forey family, the Jim Beckwith family, and Amelia Detweiler family. Lord, just place them in your loving hands. Wrap your arms around them and just surround them with your love, and allow them to know your special touch. Father, you know each of our hearts. You know what goes on in any given week. You know the struggles at work we've had, the stress that we deal with. And Lord, we're just coming before you now in this very moment and just asking you to hear our personal prayers as we also confess those wrongdoings from this prior week and ask of your forgiveness. So Father, during these few moments of silent prayer, we ask that you would hear our personal concerns and our confessions. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness offered through the cross where your son died. But your son didn't die. He rose again on that third day, and he rose victorious. Death no longer has a sting. Sin no longer wins in our lives, for we can come before you, Father, because of your son Jesus. And how we thank you for the life that he led during his ministry here on this earth and the example that he provided for us. We pray, Lord, that we would be in your word daily, that we would know what we should be doing until you return. So, Father, we pray that you would use us, that you would guide us into relationship with each other, that others may know the hope that we have through Christ. So, Father, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit giving us all we need to get through this life. And oh, how we look forward to our life eternal. But help us remain faithful as we're here for a little while longer. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Always such power and truth in the selections that they sing on a Sunday morning, and I'm just so grateful for the senior choir and the words that just express such faith in our lives. Larry Burkett shares this thought: one exciting benefit of giving is that it allows us to see God prove himself faithful as he has promised. The Bible says one doesn't grow closer to God by giving. Instead, a giving is a sign of someone who is already close to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 8:3-4, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in the support of the saints." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give out of cheerful hearts, out of knowing you deeper in our relationship that we walk daily. Father, we pray this offering would go to further your kingdom, that it would go to support the saints. And Father, thank you for each one. We pray your blessings over them and ask your favor. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in worship this morning, our next hymn is number 521, "Come Thou Fount." And it's my prayer that we would daily see the ability we have to tune our hearts to sing of God's grace. Would you please join in number 521, "Come Thou Fount."
Sing. I invite the children forward this morning for our children's moment. Good morning, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Hi, how are you? Yes, I have something really exciting to share with you guys. But first, I have a few questions about what we see in this baggie. What can you tell me that looks different about what's in this bag?
It's candy.
It's candy. So one of the similarities would be that it's some form of candy. Do you notice anything different about it? Can everyone see it okay?
It's all different colors.
It is. Thank you for sharing that. It is all different colors. Can you guys see that over there? Different colors? See the different colors? What else might be the same?
This one.
What might be the same? LaShane? What's the same about it? It's candy.
And two
colors might make different colors. There's some colors that are the same in here. Yeah? They're all made from the same company. Very good observation. Graham, what do you think?
I know what candies can make when. I know what candies can make when there are different colors. A rainbow.
A rainbow. Very good. Yeah. You notice the wrappers? Do you think the wrappers are all the same? What do you think? Are the wrappers all the same?
Yes.
Yeah, the wrappers are all the same. So there are differences and there are similarities, huh? Do you see something else?
I know that there's the primary colors, the secondary colors. The secondary colors are purple, green, and orange. And the primary colors are red, yellow, and red, and
up top, blue. Up top, right there. That was impressive, right there. Juliana, give me a high five. Atta girl, good job, good job. Okay, do you know what they're made of? Look at that word right there. What's in all of these candies? What are they filled with?
Honey.
It's something very sweet, honey. They have honey. So if you're like me and you can't suck on hard candy and you chew it, you're going to get honey in your mouth right away. Does anyone else do that? Or do you guys can suck on your candy and enjoy it until it gets to this honey inside? They're made, yeah, bees help in making honey. I want you to do something. Look out into the congregation. Now, do you see anybody that looks the same?
No.
No, we're all different, aren't we? We all look different. We all look different. Do you know what else? Not only do we look different, do you think we all do the same things? Do you guys all do the same things? Maybe there's some things you do the same, but there's a lot of things that you guys do differently. Do you think out here in the congregation they do a lot of different things too?
Excuse me?
Sure. What would you like to say?
I like to watch Tinkerbell and I brought a little friend.
Tinkerbell and your little friend. Does she dance?
No. But okay. Her name is Vaughn. She's an animal fairy, and she helps the bees make honey.
Oh, very good. You tied that in nicely. Bees with honey. See how that worked there? So you notice out in the congregation, everyone looks different. Look around to each of you. Some of you might be siblings, but you have some similarities, but you're all different. What would it be like if we all looked the same? What would it be like if we all looked the same? What do you think? What if we all looked the same? We would confuse each other, and LaShane nailed the nail on the head, I guess is the saying. He said it would be boring if we all looked the same. How boring would that be? What if we all did the same thing? That would be even more boring. So isn't it cool that God created us? We're all in God's image, so we're all the same, but he created us to look different and to do things differently. Some of you may have gifts and talents that are different from one another. And my encouragement for each of you this morning is to use your gifts and talents and to show these wonderful people in your congregation how truly blessed you are by what God has given you as talents. And I'm sure there's a variety of them. I know there's some soccer players among us. I know there's some dancers among us. I know there's some singers among us. You guys and these guys out here are all gifted in unique ways. So be sure to use your gifts. And some of them may be the same, but that's okay, because it's always better to have more than one person helping in a certain cause. We should see what they like. Well, we only have a very limited time before we want to get to the soup and sandwich, so we don't want to draw out the service too long, because that would take forever, don't you think?
Yeah.
But I guarantee if we asked everyone here what they like to do, it would be really neat to find that out, wouldn't it?
I think so.
Let's do that during fellowship afterwards. Help yourself to a piece of candy. Make sure mommy's okay with you guys eating it. Make sure you take just one. I think I might have enough. Thank you guys for being such good listeners. Before you go back to your seats, we're going to have a word of prayer. You want your favorite color. So do I. Someone took my red one. Oh, no. Everyone get one? How'd we do? Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Everyone get one? Okay. Let's pray. Okay. Everyone, you got one? You got one? Okay, we're going to pray as they leave. Dear Heavenly Father, Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these children. We pray your blessings over their families, over their individual lives, and we just thank you for the talents and gifts that you've given them at such a young age. And we look forward to the children that you'll turn them into as they become young adults and they become teenagers and adults, Lord, serving among us. So thank you for each one. May they enjoy the diversity of life and the differences that they each have. And we thank you and we love them very much. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. You did wonderful.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Let's listen to the words of our Lord. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Thank you.
I absolutely love this parable found in Matthew 25. What Jesus is doing here is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching you and I about opportunities. Jesus, as we recap what Jeremy just read, tells a story about a master. He goes on a journey and he entrusts his possessions to 3 servants. As we heard, the servant was given 5 talents, another servant 2, and a final servant only 1 talent. Now, what we need to understand is that a talent was an ancient word that stood for an amount of money that was worth somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,000. The story says that each person was given money based on their ability to make the most of it. As the story goes, the servant with 5 talents began to invest and work his master's money. And when it was all said and done, he doubled the money. When the master settled accounts with him, the servant returned 10 talents to him. The servant who had 2 talents did the same, doubled the master's money, and returned 4 talents to the master. However, as we recall the story, that third servant, he had 1 talent. He didn't use it. He didn't invest it. And get this, he actually digs a hole and buries it in the ground. When the master came to the third servant, he was shocked and angered to discover that this servant only gave back the 1 talent. It hadn't been invested. It hadn't been used in any way whatsoever. So he heard the master reply, "You could have at least put it in the bank so it could have gained interest." The master, as we heard, was so angry that he called the servant wicked and lazy and cast him out of his home. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the difference that it can make in our lives as we consider those talents and what you entrust to us. We're praying this morning, Lord, that you would open your word to us and through your Spirit reveal it to us and allow us to leave this place changed forever, acting differently as a result. Amen. Now, I'd like us to do something this morning. Let's take a look at this parable in depth and see what we can learn about life. The big idea I'd like us to consider is how we can make the most of every opportunity in a way that will allow you and I to make a real difference with our lives. So let's dig right in. The first question that we need to ask ourselves is, where did that third servant go wrong? He's the one who took the safest and the least profitable approach, burying the money in the ground. Now, in those days, doubling one's investment, as did the other two, was actually quite common. This servant very well could have accomplished even that. But perhaps as we consider ourselves this morning, it can be like us. Sometimes we're given an opportunity and we do it half-hearted. We try as we may, we go along ho-hum, rather than putting our entire effort into it, even giving it 110%. But during this time, what's happening is one's integrity was tested in the smaller matters. And what this did was prove one's integrity in the larger matters. The third slave should have known better. If we call a spade right here, right now, he simply didn't care what happened to his master's property. He was full of excuses. He focused on every possible reason why he was unable to make a difference, and he demonstrated a bad attitude toward the master. He even said, can you imagine this? "You are a hard man." What's even more intriguing here is this servant acted in self-sufficiency. He didn't include anyone else. He acted purely on his own motives. He actually thought the master would be glad to get in return what he was given. I want you to take notice to something he said. He was fearful of losing. Fearful of losing. You see, that third servant didn't play to win. He played to not lose. Again, consider this in our own lives. Are we more willing to play it safe, to avoid taking risks, fearing we might lose that friendship, we might lose that job if we even mention the name of Jesus Christ? This reminds me a lot about things I've learned about the geography in that Middle East. There was a sea called the Sea of Galilee. It was one of the most liveliest bodies of water in the region. And the reason so, it was because it was full of life and activity. If you recall, the disciples would fish there in that Sea of Galilee. Their nets would be full. And they were often on the verge of bursting. Now, if you look at a map, you'll see the Jordan River flows into the north and out of the south shores of the Sea of Galilee. The Jordan River continues south until it flows into another sea. However, and here's the key point, this sea has no outlet. It only receives from the Jordan, and that's where it ends. Anyone know what that sea is called this morning? The Dead Sea. Lifeless. No animal, no plant could live there. And the reason being, it had no outlet. It receives, but never gives. Chew on that for a moment this morning. It receives, but never gives. How might that apply to our lives this morning? It's a very good illustration of what happened to that third servant. You see, he did nothing with what he was given. But as we learn from the story, it cost him. And what we have just gained through this parable is that life is an adventure. And you ready for the big word? Responsibility. How many of us here love having responsibility? Those men did not own what they had. They were simply managing what their master had given them. Now, keep in mind, as we've learned weeks past, the master represents God, and the servants represent you and I. And what Jesus is teaching us here is that whatever it is that we have has been entrusted to us by God for the purpose of managing it until he returns. I want you to consider a wealthy man. He went shopping with his 16-year-old son. His son saw this incredible new computer system and showed it to his dad. The wealthy man looked at the price and he said, "Why, son, that costs $2,000. The son said, "Well, yeah, Dad, but we've got the money." To which the dad says, "We? We? Who said anything about we having anything? I know that I've got money. I know that you don't." You see, the son misunderstood the nature of the relationship with his father. He thought that he could choose whatever the father spent his money on, while the father wasn't so careless. Another application for us this morning: God owns it all. God owns it all, and we must be very, very careful about how we treat his possessions. That includes our wealth. That includes our possessions. It includes our time. And as of late, the Lord is teaching me, it includes our health. Life is an adventure of responsibility. And if we want to allow God to use us to make a difference in this world, we must be willing to be responsible with what God has entrusted to us. And you know what that means this morning? Even the little things. We dig further into this parable, we also find that life is a treasure of diversity. These children did such a wonderful job this morning explaining how those pieces of candy each had different colors, but yet they had the same characteristics. It's the same as you and I, brothers and sisters. We were all created in the image of God. Yet look around, we all look different. We all act differently. We're given different gifts, different talents, different abilities to use for the glory of God. We see in this parable the diversity came from 5 talents being given to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 to that third servant. You see, they didn't receive the same amount. Each were given based on their God-given ability. You know, when we think about it, isn't it wonderful we're not all the same? Who needs a world full of clones? As the children said, what a boring place that would be. I, for one, am so blessed that we're all different, that we have various gifts and abilities to offer. Life truly is a treasure of diversity. Only we can do what we can do in our own special way. I absolutely love what Zig Ziglar said. You are the only person on earth who can use your ability. You are the only person on earth who can use your ability. Maybe a person can't teach, but maybe they can pray. Maybe a person can't sing, but they can help out with taking care of the buildings. We can't all do everything well, but hear this. We can each do something, and what we can all do can make a difference. That's what makes this body of believers so incredibly impressive. So here's the takeaway. We have what we have because God decided to allow us to manage it. He only expects us to manage within the boundaries of the ability he created within us. He doesn't hand us a go-kart and say, hey, go, fly to the moon. He only expects us to use what he has given us. You see, the mistake that third servant made is that he started to feel sorry for himself because he didn't get as much as those other two guys. They had five, they had two. He only had one. He thought God was expecting out of him what he was expecting of the other two. It simply wasn't true. He was only expecting out of that third servant what he could do. I'd like us to take a moment and thank God for the treasure of diversity, and to thank him that we are not all the same. And to do this morning, what I'd like you to do is simply turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for being you. Can we do that this morning? Just turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for being you. And I tremendously thank each of you for being you. You are the church. People matter to God. We do what we can with what God has given us. And it is beautiful to watch it on display week in and week out. You know, as I think about it, I'm really glad that nobody's like me. I'm sure some of you may feel the same way too. And I'm glad that nobody else is like you either, because we're all different. God knows what he is doing. The final application I'd like us to consider, and perhaps this morning the most critical, is that life is a giver of opportunity. We all have an opportunity to do something. I want you to think about who's on your mind right now. Perhaps it's someone you've been praying for quite a while. Perhaps it's someone, even this morning as we prayed, that you thought, wow, wouldn't it be neat if that person would come to church? And God gives us opportunities. He allows us to have such amazing technology. We don't even have to go face to face anymore. We can text our friend and say, hey, Sunday, 10 o'clock, I'm heading to Little Swatara. Why don't you join me? It's a personal invite. A personal invite. And the difference could be the kingdom for that person. Might we consider that this coming week, inviting a friend or two or three to church? But the biggest mistake that third servant made is that he thought he couldn't make a difference with what he had. He looked at those two other servants and he said to himself, I can't do what they can do. I only have one talent. The master explained to him that he could have made a difference. He just needed to do something different, something only he could do. Maybe he couldn't go out trading, but he could have taken that one talent to the bank and earned interest. I would be a hypocrite if I didn't stand here and confess to you that I am guilty of this from time to time. I remember my very first ministry placement in this town called Beaver Springs. They had a dragway. It was pretty cool, but if you blinked, you missed the town. But they were known for a Middle Creek area community center. And in that community center, they had these courts with walls on every side of you. And you played this sport, I think it was a sport, called racquetball. I don't know if you've ever heard of racquetball, but that is the craziest invention I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I'll tell you what, I thought I could make connections with a few people in the community by playing racquetball. But let me emphasize three words: tried to play. They whipped me into the next week. And you know what I did? I was a lot like that third servant. I decided to bury my racquetball racket all together because those guys were so much better than I was. I'll admit I did the same thing when I met people who were better artists. I thought I could draw a really mean stick figure. It was the coolest stick figure you'd ever see. But then halfway through high school, I started to see students whose work put mine to shame. And you know what? I took my sketch pad, my pencils, and I quit drawing altogether. I wonder if I'm alone in this. How many times in life do we try and we fail and we decide that's not for me? But God allows us to do things that on our own we really couldn't accomplish. Instead of focusing on what we can do, it's so easy for us to start focusing on what we can't do. I enjoyed this poem I came across this week. It reads, "Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules, and each must make ere life is flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone." That poem spoke to me in ways I cannot explain. What are we doing with the tools God has given us? We can't do everything, but we can do something. President Theodore Roosevelt said this: "Do what you can with what you have, where you are." Remember that boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Jesus took that gift and he fed 5,000 people. God does so much more. He does this with whatever we are willing to be faithful with. Life is a giver of opportunity, and we all have them. We can truly make a difference with our lives if we are willing to make the most of the opportunities God gives us, even as small as they may seem. Taking care of the little things right now will earn us a big position of trust in the future. Let's pray. Father, we know that you have called each of us to share in the kingdom, to share in the responsibilities, to share in heeding to the opportunities you give us. But Lord, we'll admit the enemy fills us with fear. The enemy calls us worthless. The enemy calls us incapable. But Father, we're claiming in Jesus' name this morning that we are indeed able to do far greater things, for you say so in your word. So, Father, we're giving you our lives this morning. We're surrendering them to you, and we're asking you to use us. In whatever small or magnificent way that may be, we pray that you would continue to trust us in the little things, and we would trust you to move us to bigger things. So, Father, be with each one this week. Allow them to see the opportunities before them. Allow them to share and to show your love to others they come in contact with. And it's to your Son's most precious name we give all glory and honor, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
close this morning with 1 Corinthians 12:4. It reads, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." May we go throughout our week seizing the opportunity to share God's love with others, demonstrating peace, allowing His amazing grace to go forth. Amen.